We always love it when we have Jim McGovern from Massachusetts 2nd District on with us. He's a Democrat in office since 1997. And Jim, if I may call you that, let me ask you.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you question number one, which is, okay, you're a progressive. This ain't a progressive time. In other words, what do you think about the elections?
Well, not much. I mean, I'm obviously very disappointed and a little bit terrified, quite frankly, when I hear some of the rhetoric coming out of the mouths of the nominees for cabinet positions in the new Trump administration. Some of them are my colleagues who served in the House, who for years have tried to block grant Medicaid, privatize Medicare, privatize Social Security, block grant SNAP. I mean, I can go right down the list. These are going to be very difficult and challenging times. And I think for those of us who are liberal or progressive, we need to, get ready for a fight. Obviously, if the new president does things that we agree with, we're happy to be supportive. But if he goes after our core values and beliefs, we need to be ready for one hell of a fight. And this is not a time to agonize. This is not a time to, point fingers. It's not a time to, check out. It's a time to fight. This is our country, too. We love our country, and we're not going to stand by, while people try to tear it apart. Look, I'm disappointed, I'm not giving up, and I'm getting prepared for next year.
What can you do? I mean, I've asked this question to a number of people, but you've got a Republican House, a Republican Senate, a Republican president, and you say, we're not going to stand by and take it. Well, in certain Latin American countries, when things get out of hand, people go out in the streets with pots and pans. I'm wondering what you can do.
That may be what we need to do, when it's appropriate. The one thing that every member of Congress has in common is they all want to get reelected.
Right.
And no matter you're Democrat or Republican, you want to get reelected. And I think it's important for us to make it clear, especially to our Republican friends, that if you start going down the road of privatizing Medicare and Social Security and privatizing the VA or block granting SNAP, there's going to be a consequence. You're going to feel that consequence. I think too often in the past, when some of these guys have gone after things that we care about, we've given them a pass. They haven't paid a political price. We need to make that clear so that when Republicans meet in their conference committees, that individuals are saying to Speaker Ryan, don't go down this road because, we're going to get a lot of resistance from our constituents. People need to, there needs to be a renewed sense of activism in this country. If we're going to survive this, people have to step it up. And that means not just commiserating about how bad things are with your neighbor. It means you might have to get on a bus and come down to Washington and be part of a protest. You have to sign petitions. You're going to have to pick up the phone and call your elected officials. Look, a protest is an important part of this country, and we shouldn't shortchange it. Sometimes protest works, but there needs to be a strong indication all throughout this country if the president-elect is going to do something we don't like, that people, are making their voices heard.
So how did Trump win?
Well, he really didn't win. I mean, as we look right now, Hillary's ahead by 2.6 million votes. That's huge. I mean, we think about it.
Sure.
He won the Electoral College, and I think there were a number of reasons why he did better in some states than others. One, I mean, I think we ought to be frank. President Obama is personally popular, but his economy is not popular everywhere in this country. And in some parts of this country, especially in the Midwest, people have been hit harder. Wages have stagnated, and in some cases, the job loss, hasn't rebounded. And so there's some of that. I think the announcement that, people's health care bills might increase, that announcement that premiums might go up, shortly before the election also was a factor that, people obviously want health care, but they don't want to spend, more money on it because their budgets are already tight. So there was some frustration over that. So there's part of that where people, I think, you know, voted for Trump figuring, you know what, let's try something different. And it may have resulted in some people staying home. So there's part of that. There's another part of it, I think, where people voted for Trump for precisely the reasons why I found Trump so frightening. I mean, the racism, the sexism, the misogyny, the xenophobia. Mm. There are people who are out there. I mean, it's I don't know how many, but there's a couple of points out there of people who were attracted to that message of intolerance and bigotry. I'm sad to say that. I quite frankly had thought we were farther along in many respects on some of those issues after 8 years of Barack Obama. And I saw firsthand out in the campaign trail that wasn't necessarily the case.
So how come relatively fewer people than were expected came out from the Latino community, from the Black community, to vote in their own self-interest? How come?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact reason, other than the fact that maybe people didn't think it mattered, what happened in the election, or that their own individual situations may have been such that, there was a level of frustration that resulted in, kind of apathy when it came to the campaign. Look, people have all, one of the things that Democrats do really well after elections is if you lose, everybody annihilates the person who loses. You all blame them. And
although not Nancy Pelosi.
Right. Yeah. Right. but with regard to Hillary, I thought she ran a great campaign in many respects. She said things that, I thought were true. And her positions and her policies were very, very progressive. I mean, she adopted most of Bernie's, platform.
Yep. Yeah.
I think whether or not everybody appreciated that, we could argue over that. The way the campaign was covered in the news media, I mean, where, everything was a reaction to a tweet by Donald Trump and not a lot of in-depth discussion about, like, what are you going to do to make sure that, everybody who wants to go to college can afford to go to college, or what are you going to do to really bring manufacturing back to this country? Or, I mean, a lot of those things got shortchanged. I mean, this became a campaign on things that were, kind of scandalous in some respects. I mean, these tweets and all that kind of stuff. But we didn't get to a lot of substance, which, and I can't blame her for that, because the questions, even during the debate, were, never kind of scratched beneath the surface. So I think that, and then we had this, this phenomenon of fake news, which, I mean, I don't think we can underestimate that had a role in some of this. I mean, and by the way, his national security advisor, General Flynn, has been peddling fake news, for the last several months, including this crazy rumor about, that Hillary was running some sort of a child,
pornography ring,
out of a pizza joint in Washington, D.C., that resulted in, a guy, armed with an assault weapon walking into that pizza place the other day and shooting off a round. Look, there are a lot of things out there that we need to, reassess in the aftermath of this campaign. But I don't think the lesson of this campaign should be that, our values weren't appropriate, or that the issues that we cared about weren't appropriate, or that, we ought to somehow all of a sudden, make a sharp turn to the right. I mean, the bottom line is, I think, the issues that we stood for and the policies that we had, are the way to get this country moving forward. And we shouldn't turn our, and our response shouldn't be to, throw all that away.
Well, Jim McGovern, we always love having you here. You're a man who tells it like it is. Jim McGovern from Massachusetts 2nd District, a Democrat in office since 1997. When we come back, Jim, let's talk about the work you've done on Cuba, okay?
Thanks.